Lord Jesus, be present, and pour out the Holy Spirit upon us as we're gathered together in worship. Touch our hearts and our minds and our lives with your grace and your truth, that we might follow you into the world and proclaim your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. So before I jump into this story of Blind Bart, that's what his friends call him, let me give you a hint. This event is much bigger than just a healing story. So keep your eyes open. You might see something new. As the story goes, Jesus is leaving Jericho with a large crowd in tow. This is his last stop before he hits Jerusalem. And Bart is sitting on the side of the road begging. And needless to say, he knows that Jesus is in town. It's all the buzz. He's also heard all the stories of the healings and the miracles and the teachings. And Bart on the side of the road starts yelling out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And everybody's cramming in, craning, trying to see this meteoric celebrity. They're shouting down Bart to be quiet, but he will not be deterred by this belligerent crowd. He shouts his head off, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So let's hit pause right there and take a moment just to sort of dissect this thing that Bart is doing. He is simply saying, "Son of David." Son of David was an acknowledgement of who Jesus was, the Messiah, the son of the throne of David. And it also acknowledges his divine power. So Bart comes before Jesus. He's on the side of the road and he's screaming, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He's coming in complete humility. Now back to the story. Jesus, in this cacophony of the crowd, hears the voice. Hears this one voice above all the other voices that are clamoring for his attention. "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus zeroes in on Bart and calls for him. The crowd turns to him and proclaims, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling for you." And so Bart throws his cloak aside, jumps to his feet, and comes to Jesus. Now let's hit pause one more time here, because this is actually a very important detail. A cloak was a heavy, large garment which you could wrap yourself up in to keep warm, make a little tent over yourself to keep the sun off you or the rain. It was an important piece of clothing, especially if you were poor and perhaps didn't have a place to live like a blind beggar. In fact, this cloak was so important that the law, Exodus 22:6, states that if you take a person's cloak in pledge for a loan, you had to return it to them at night so that they would have something to protect them from the elements. It was that important, that precious. So when Bart jumped to his feet, the text says he threw his cloak aside. Did he know what he was doing? Because I can guarantee you that cloak was gone in a New York minute in that crowd, right? Somebody snatched that thing up. And how is a blind guy supposed to get his cloak back in a large crowd like that? Is he supposed to, "Excuse me, hold on everybody, wait, everybody stand still. Has anybody seen my cloak?" And somebody says, "Well, what color is it?" He goes, "I don't know, I'm blind." He is never going to see that cloak again. But he doesn't seem to care, does he? He just threw it aside. His most important possession. He just casts it off in his desire to answer Jesus' call to come to him. And Jesus asks the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now notice, that's the same question that Jesus asked James and John. Remember last week when they approached Jesus for the backroom deal on who would be the greatest? Same question. What do you want me to do for you? And their request was about arrogance and greed and power. But here, Bart, it's about mercy. So here we find Bart standing before Jesus, and Jesus asking the ultimate question, what do you want me to do for you? And Bart, without hesitation, asks for the obvious thing, right? Teacher, let me see again. Notice, Bart's request is not for eternal life like the rich young ruler that Joseph preached on about two Sundays ago. He wasn't asking for power and glory like James and John, but for Jesus, just have mercy on me. Let me see again. And Jesus says, go. Your faith has made you well. And the text says, immediately Bart received his sight. And the text also says that he did not run back to his village at that point, once he got his sight, nor did he go searching for his cloak. The text says that he followed Jesus on the way. Now, Jesus told Bart, go. Like other healings, he would say, you're healed, now go. And Bart says, nope, not going. I am following you. I will go where you go. I will sleep where you sleep. An image of true discipleship. To be with Jesus. To become like Jesus. To live as Jesus lived. Now, we never hear again in Scripture about Bartimaeus. But the fact that he's named in the gospel, as opposed to the myriad of nameless folks who received healings at the hands of Jesus, the fact that he's named implies that he in fact did become a disciple. He was known. He was known by Mark so well that Mark named him in his gospel. Do you see that this is so much more than just a healing story? This actually is a calling story. This is a discipleship story. It's really a story about us, you and me. Listen, you are not here by accident. None of us are. We have been called here. The Spirit has moved you, and you have responded by walking through these doors. Whether it's the first time you've walked through these doors, or you've been walking through them for 50 years. We are all here because we have heard the voice of Jesus in some form or another. And we've been trying to follow him. Wholeheartedly sometimes, and half-heartedly most of the time. But his call upon our lives never subsides. It never wanes. It is never diminished. Jesus is constantly calling us anew each day to draw closer, deeper, into greater intimacy. And I say to you today, in the midst of all that you're facing in your lives, cheer up. Get on your feet. Jesus is calling you. Did you hear me? Cheer up. Take heart. I know how capricious and unpredictable life is. One minute you think you got your whole future mapped out in front of you, and suddenly life just takes a left turn. And what you thought you could hang on to all of a sudden is plucked right out of your hands. What you thought was the future all of a sudden isn't, and you're having to crack open plan B. And I know what it's like to be in the midst of the storm when all hell is breaking loose and you're disoriented and frightened and you're just grasping at anything to try to bring order to the chaos. We've all been there, right? Can I get a few head nods? We've all been there, right? And perhaps you're in the middle of it right now. And I know some of you are because I know your lives. All of us. Either we're in the storm, or we're coming out of the storm, or the storm clouds are building on the horizon and we just haven't noticed them yet. Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. The one who has overcome the world, has defeated death and the grave, is present here with us today. In this place. That's why we come here each Sunday, right? It's not for the music. I'm sorry, Dan, choir. It's not for the beauty. It's not to catch up with friends. It's not out of nostalgia. It's not out of habit. We come here hoping that we will be ushered into the presence of Jesus. And so I say again to the people of God, cheer up! On your feet. Jesus is calling you. Let us throw off anything that hinders us from answering that call, anything that weighs us down, anything which is a barrier. Come to Jesus just as you are. No covering, no disguise, no projections, no pretense. Just as you are, with your wounds and your warts, your beauty and your best. Come with your deepest need. And so as Jesus asked Bartimaeus, I ask you, what do you want Jesus to do for you? Is it a healing for yourself, a loved one, someone who has cancer, who's dying, who's addicted? Is it for money because your back is up against the wall? Is it to mend broken or a strained marriage or a relationship with a child or a friend or a colleague? Is it forgiveness for something you've done or left undone? Is it for clarity and direction in your life? Is it a desire and a need to be loved and accepted for just who you are? Is it just rest for your weary soul? Because you are bone tired by the changes and chances of this life. Jesus is here. And he's asking you, what do you want me to do for you? What's your answer? Gather it right now in your heart. What is your answer to that question? Take a moment. Put it into words. What do you want Jesus to do for you right now, at this time in your life? What is your greatest need? Now I want you to take your hands and hold them like this, as if you're holding something. And whatever that thing is, that deep need, I want you to place it in your hands right now. Hold your request before Jesus. And like Bartimaeus, let us cry out to the Lord. Son of David, have mercy on me. I want you all to say it out loud. Son of David, have mercy on me. Louder. Son of David, have mercy on me. Louder. Son of David, have mercy on me. Now keep holding it. And I say to all of you, cheer up. On your feet. Jesus is calling you. Did you hear me? Cheer up. On your feet. Jesus is calling you on your feet before your Lord. With your hands still holding your hope, your pain, Your disappointment, your sorrow, your loss, your sin, your disease, your confusion. For Jesus is asking you right now, what do you want me to do for you? I want us all to say it together, out loud before Jesus. Whatever you're holding right now is your deepest need. When I count to three, I want you to say it out loud. Scream it out loud. One, two, three. Heal Joellen. One more time. One, two, three. Heal Joellen. Now offer it to the Lord and raise your hands. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Lord Jesus, your people are crying out to you in their deepest need. Come, Holy Spirit, and open their eyes to see you. Open their eyes that they may see you clearly in the presence of their lives. Open their eyes that they may see clearly the way forward in the midst of the messiness and confusion of their lives. Lord Jesus, we lay all these things at your feet. The pain, suffering, uncertainty, loss, and fear of our lives. And we ask that you would have mercy upon us. And give us eyes to see. To truly see you, and in seeing you, knowing you as our Lord and Savior, the one who can lead us through this life. Lord Jesus, open our eyes to see your glory, a glory which will lead us to eternal life, where there are no tears or sighing, but life everlasting. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And we say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that you have not left us as orphans to fend for ourselves in this life. Thank you for calling us to travel life with you, the one who has overcome the world. And thank you for opening our eyes that we might see your glory and follow you faithfully in spite of the changes and chances of this life. We say thank you, thank you, thank you. Where you go, we will go. For we are called to be your disciples. And we answer that call once again with our lives. Amen.